Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are Nomadland, His House, and The Nest. And as I've already indicated, that's just so simple, I'm not even going to bother. Hi, David. How are you?
I'm okay, Jill. Thank you. You could have made a sentence. You could have made a small little paragraph out of that, but I admire your restraint. You're just going to let them go as three separate titles. And the first one is the only title. It's a little bit funny, Nomadland, because it's one word, not two words. And we have a theme this week. I want to say that at the outset. Our theme this week is sort of ideas of home, what it means to have a home. And in a way, the movie that takes the most sort of interesting and complex view of this is the movie Nomadland, which is directed by Chloe Zhao. It's only the third feature she's made me. It's only the third feature she's made. And about 3 years ago, she made one which got a lot of attention, a little independent movie, but very, very good, called The Rider. And this is basically her first follow-up to that. And it's a very interesting movie. I have to also say at the outset here that I'm going to be a bit of a Grinch here, because Nomadland is being greeted by so many critics and so many people as just this wonderful, towering masterpiece. And I just don't find it that way. I'm rather disappointed in it, actually, and I'll say why in a moment. First of all, what is Nomadland about? Well, it all starts off with a text on the screen telling us that a very important industrial plant somewhere in Nevada went bust almost 10 years ago and sent so many people out of work that the whole town, the whole basic area, basically just economically totally collapsed. So people were at loose ends. It was already a very low income, very unprivileged community, and now there was no work there. And so what some of the people did, including the person who turns out to be the main character of this movie, who is a woman named Fern, played by Frances McDormand, what some people did was they just started wandering. They started going, they got into their vans, if they had vans, and they went off to a different place looking for work, looking for some sort of sustenance. And then when that ran out, when that didn't turn out to be anything very permanent, they got back in their vans and they went to another place. So we have people here who are in a way nomads, but they're not nomads by choice. They're nomads because they have no basic wherewithal, no economic support, no economic stability or solidity in their lives. And so they keep wandering from place to place, doing temporary work. And this is, of course, very, very plugged in with the actual realities of our time. There are a lot of people who don't have any permanent or even semi-permanent kind of work to support them and sustain them. And some of them move from place to place. And that is what this movie is about. These people have a name for themselves. They call themselves work campers, meaning work and campers. They're campers because they're always sort of parking their van in a new place and going here and going there. But they're also workers because what they're doing is looking for work. And when they can find it, they'll take it at least for a while and do it and earn a little bit of money to put some more gas in the van and then eventually move on. So that's what the movie is about. It's based on a book on this subject. And very importantly, a lot of the people in this movie, obviously not Frances McDormand, but a lot of the other people are playing characters very much like themselves. And if you just look at the cast list, you see that the character of Linda is played by somebody named Linda May, and that the character named Carl is played by somebody named Carl R. Hughes, and that the character named Bob, who, by the way, is sort of a guru who makes videos and kind of advises people on how to do this successfully, is played by a guy named Bob Wells, and so forth and so on. So we have here again a movie which is very, very much grounded in real life, but it is not a documentary. Again, these people are playing characters very much like themselves, but they are characters. And again, at the heart of the movie, at the center of it throughout, we have the main character played by Frances McDormand, one of the finest actors that we have. And here she's playing a character who has a little bit in common with the legendary character she plays in the Coen brothers movie Fargo, but here it's different. And again, this whole movie kind of has about 1 foot planted firmly in fiction, because we have Fern as a fictional character, and we have a story that has a certain amount of storytelling structure to it. But on the other hand, it has 1 foot planted very much in the world of documentary, because it is about real people playing people much like themselves. And again, in a very, very, the kind of plight that we see very much in the modern world. So it's a very interesting movie in all the ways I've mentioned. So why then was I so disappointed in it? One of the main reasons is that there is an enormous absence, an enormous silence in this movie, which is not even gestured toward. And it's what in other places I'm constantly seeing references to and very concerned writing and talking about. And that is the problem of what are often called deaths of despair. The fact that in our country right now, among people who are among the economically unprivileged and underprivileged, there is so much drug addiction, so much alcoholism, so much sheer misery and depression, and this is simply not in the movie. These people are not exactly happy, most of them. They're not exactly happy work campers, but that we don't see that kind of despair anywhere, nor do we get the idea that there are other people out there who are suffering in this way. This I found an enormous gap in the movie, and it makes the movie's occasional sentimentality not so much charming for me as kind of false for me. I just wasn't really going to buy it. Also, there's a whole lot in this movie about the value of community and how these people treasure each other as being folks who are sort of in the same fix as one another. And yet they're constantly moving on. Rarely do they take the advantage to settle down for a while and build more permanent bonds with others, however difficult that may be. So again, I found this movie had odd lapses. And the main one was, again, that absence of any sort of the kind of despair that apparently is very much in the real world all around us very much right now and is completely missing from this movie. So that's the problem with Nomadland for me. It's a very charming movie, it's a very beautiful movie, and it's a sentimental movie to some extent in a good way. But I found it also to be somewhat a false movie, and I'm afraid that the tremendous accolades that it's getting are covering up what I see as a great sort of absence at its core. It's a little bit too sentimental for it to really catch hold in the real world way that it tries to catch hold. That said, let's move on to another movie, His House. And this is a film which, again, deals with the idea of home, but it's very, very different. This movie was directed and co-written by Remy Weeks, and it is about a couple, a young married couple, who have just made a terrible escape from South Sudan in Africa, from the war there, and they barely escaped with their lives. And now they are living in England. And sure enough, they are immigrants, they are refugees, they are hoping to find asylum, to find safe harbor in England now, in another country which is not torn by war. And they immediately find that they have all kinds of troubles, including, of course, the bigotry of some of the people around them. But what this movie does is it turns that situation into basically a sort of a horror film. And in fact, His House has been called a horror film, and it basically is a horror film. It appears that the house that they have moved into, it has some very real-world menace about it. There's a landlord who is sort of always looking over them, and they know they have to keep up with the rental payments and stuff like that while they're waiting for some sort of what they hope will be permanent asylum, permanent refuge to come through. So there is very much that real-world horror of having to keep up with economic realities in a new country, we're in a new place, and you were still just getting adjusted and getting oriented. But also, it appears that there might be spirits afoot. And it's not sure whether these spirits might be real ghosts, real poltergeists, real menacing demons of some kind, or whether they are lurking in the psychology of these two people who have been traumatized by coming from this horrible war-torn place and are now trying to establish themselves to set up some sort of a permanent, decent life in this new country for them. So again, we have this very interesting slipping back and forth between the question of whether we're dealing with real supernatural haunting here, or whether we're dealing with an all-too-real kind of haunting, the memories and the challenges faced by real people in a real situation. And again, this situation is very real. Even though the movie takes place in England, I think us Americans can see a whole lot of what's going on here as being really very relevant to us too, because issues, of course, of immigration, of seeking refugee status, of just needing shelter from some horrible distant part of the world in one of the supposedly more advanced countries of our own part of the world, is very, very much what this movie is about. And again, it deals with this in a very interesting way, that sort of crosses over into the horror movie realm, but while keeping, to use a metaphor I've used before, one of its feet very, very much in the real world that we all recognize. The movie is very, very well acted by a mostly unfamiliar cast, and it's very, very solidly directed. In the end, I found that it added up to a little less than the sum of its parts. With its combination of a great sort of supernatural story with ghosts and hauntings, maybe, and you know that plus the real world implications and the real world realities that the movie delves into, I thought the movie really ought to add up to something really transcendent, maybe one of the very best movies of recent times or something like that. And it doesn't quite get to that status. It doesn't quite blend the different levels of its story as I thought it might have, but it comes very close, and it's a fascinating movie to see and to think about. So I really do recommend His House. Very, very interesting and offbeat exploration of some very, very real world problems that are all around us. And finally, our third movie today, The Nest. This movie was written and directed by Sean Durkin, and it's only the second feature that Sean Durkin has made. The first one was a really, really interesting movie almost 10 years ago called Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene, and it was a movie about a cult. And it was a very, very well-directed movie, and a movie that lives very much in my memory. So in the almost 10 years since then, Sean Durkin has only made one other, he's done a little TV work. But aside from that, this is his first feature that he's made since then, and I think it's really good, The Nest, with a wonderful cast led by Jude Law and Carrie Coon. And we have here a movie which is a fascinating counterpoint to Nomadland, because Nomadland is about people who have almost nothing, just the vans they travel around in. The Nest is about people who have what seems to be everything, success, money, professional momentum, and all of that, and it is about the horrors that can result from that sort of thing. The Nest has been called a horror movie, and it almost is, not in the supernatural sense, but in the sense of real world horrors. And I found it a very, very interesting story. So Jude Law plays a businessman, and his wife plays, she's a businesswoman, but she's in a very different line of work. He's very much involved in stockbroking and stuff like that. And they've been living in America, which is her country. And now he gets this opportunity, and he insists that he take this opportunity, and he really wants them and their young children to move back to England, where he's from, so that he can go to work for somebody who he knows, but really be running his own business and be able to take his tremendous success in business to a whole new level, and really make them rich and wealthy and have all the things they've always dreamed of having. So they uproot themselves and they travel to England and they move into this lovely country manor in Sussex so that he can commute to London and do his business there, but they can have this lovely, luxurious home in this huge old house. What the wife does, she deals with horses and she gives riding lessons and that sort of thing. So they import her favorite horse all the way over there to England, and they set about building stables and an area for her to do her teaching and so forth. It soon turns out, however, that they can't afford all of this stuff that they're doing. And he is spending money on all these luxuries, not just for him, but for the whole family, so that they can have this fabulous life that he's always dreamed of. But he's really not bringing in that kind of money, at least not yet. And then things start to go badly for him at work, too. It turns out that his boss also is aware that he's getting way ahead of himself. He's taking on huge deals that he's expecting to go through in beautiful ways. And actually, they're sort of not going through in beautiful ways. And maybe they're going to sort of fall apart. So little by little by little, the horrors start to build up. The horrors of spending more than you really have. The horrors of trying to build a huge, spectacular, fabulous life that you can't really sustain. And all of this being played out in this fabulous story of marital strife between our two main characters, again played by Jude Law and Carrie Coon, who just do wonderful, wonderful job with these roles. So The Nest is really kind of a parable about the dangers of capitalism and the dangers that lurk when you believe in capitalism so strongly that you really think why anybody can succeed in the great game of business, and it turns out to be not quite as easy as you might have suspected. And these are are not young kids. These are not kids just sort of getting over their heads a little bit. These are mature adults with children. And that makes the kind of harrowing adventures that they go through all the more harrowing. And ultimately, well, I won't tell how it all comes out, but let's just say it's a very, very dramatic tale in all kinds of ways. So I found The Nest to be absolutely riveting. It doesn't quite have a terrific ending. If it had a great last few minutes, I think it would be absolutely one of the best years we've seen in a long time. But aside from that, the flaw of the ending being, I think, a little bit weak, the movie is absolutely fascinating, a gripping story, a riveting story, a story that has its own areas of horror, but that is very much in tune with the world we actually live in, and which is wonderfully acted by Jude Law and Carrie Coon, and a wonderful supporting cast. So those are three movies about home I've talked about this week, Jill, and I'm not sure which one I'd recommend the most highly, probably The Nest. It's pretty scary, but it's also pretty darn good. And that is my home-like story this week, Jill.
And you had just better stay home to be consistent. Thank you very much, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. The films Nomadland, His House, and The Nest.